Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today we have Chris Molinar with us from north of North Dakota, per Chris's words, up there in Saskatoon, Canada. Did I say that right, Chris?
That's it. You bet.
All right. Chris is a broker agent up there, and he also invests in single family flips and multifamily. His real strength comes into lead generation and social media marketing. So that's what we're going to talk about here today. Chris, thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I told you before we got on here, we like to start with stories. We like to hear how people got to where they are today. So why don't you take us back to the beginning? How'd you get started in real estate?
100%. You know, it's funny because, you know, I didn't grow up in an entrepreneurial family. I'm kind of the black sheep in that sense. I've got four siblings. But I moved away from home at 19 years old with really no plan, you know, and I jokingly say that I was, you know, cold calling the newspaper looking for a place to live and cold calling, you know, the newspaper looking for a place to work, not knowing at the time that was the beginning of my sales career, so to speak. But I ended up getting my feet under me and built my life, you know, sort of somewhat from scratch. And my story is that, you know, I met a girl who introduced me to personal development, and I read, you know, I should get royalties for saying this all the time, that I bought Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know,
it's, so many it's of our stories book. Start there. So you're in good company.
It is. And so it's funny. So like I understood construction because I started in the trades. I grew up in a trades family. So I understood construction. And then when I moved into real estate, I had an entrepreneurial mind. And it was interesting because working with the general public on retail real estate, I had to actually train myself not to talk people out of buying stuff that I didn't think was a good investment, because it's like sometimes when people are buying a retail product, they're not looking as an investment. Like, yeah, they want good resale value. Yeah, they want to buy it for a reasonable price, but they're not thinking, you know, is this a good financial decision all the time? And I always say that, you know, I offer the salad. People pay me for their advice. People pay me to serve them. And you offer the salad, but sometimes people just want the hamburger. You know, and that's just the way life is. But it's like, I got into real estate, but it was really a huge learning curve for me in the beginning because, you know, I was very introverted, nervous, shy. You know, I didn't even own any real true professional attire. So it was definitely a huge slog in the beginning. But it's kind of put me in a unique position where, because of the way that I learned, I understand sales and business and entrepreneurship from a position of, you know, I learned everything one step at a time, more or less the hard way, from scratch, so that it puts me in a position now with running my team and sort of the brokerage side of things that it makes it a lot easier for me to train newer agents. And so I've also learned in the process that no matter how good of a trainer you are, you can't do it for them. You know, so that's true. It is. But working as a team, everybody has their different strengths. And that's what's great about investing, is that if you really want to scale up what it is that you do, I think that, you know, you can't do it alone like anything else. Right. So you have to kind of bring in other people, their strengths and weaknesses and that sort of thing. So
nice. I love it. So you got started cold calling. From that point, you got your first job. Was it in real estate, or did you you were working the trades for a little bit before you got into building your brokerage?
Yeah, believe it or not, I was a sheet metal worker before I was a real estate agent. It feels like two lifetimes ago now.
Actually sounds like fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's good days and bad days. I do miss the physical, you know, part of it where it's just like, oh, I got some good exercise today. There's a lot of parts I don't miss about it, obviously. Backbreaking labor. But at the end of the day, you could sometimes be like, this is what I accomplished today. You know, where sometimes in real estate, you're just like, what did I do today? You know, or for example, when the market all of a sudden balloons in the last couple of years, few years, you're just like, where am I supposed to buy a property?
Yeah.
You know, it's just the numbers don't make sense. But now things are starting to turn. Interest rates come up. There's more opportunities. There's bank repo deals coming out and stuff like that. So investors are getting a little bit more excited again.
Yep. So going back to your story, I want to suss out how you ended up where you are today. I mean, you are a 2X Icon Award winner out there at EXP. You've done a ton of deals. At what point did you start to, you know, when did you actually get into real estate? Like, when did you get your broker's license first and then start flipping properties? Or kind of how did the chronology work?
Yeah, so this is my 10th year in real estate now. And I started, I guess it would have been 2013. And, you know, I just started as a solo agent. And then it got to the point where, you know, there's some money left over. As you know, in real estate, there's a lot of expenses. You can earn a lot of income, but you really have to get good at managing your money to make sure that you have some left over. And there's a lot of ego in real estate. So, yeah, I made, you know, $500,000 last year. Whoa. What was your net profit? Well, actually, I lost 50 grand. You know, it's like, so there's a lot of that happening. And so I started to fine tune where the profit is selling houses, and to the point where it's like, well, now that there's some left over, I might as well start, you know, doubling and tripling down on the income that I can earn. So I you know, decided to get into flipping few houses. And I also learned that there's ups and downs with that, and that it's not without its own set of challenges and its work, just like anything. And with flipping houses, you always need a deal that makes sense, and they don't always consistently pop up. And when they do, sometimes you're competing. So it's not consistent. You know, and then I just kind of determined that in our market, there's other more lucrative ways. Actually, what I really came to was I needed to become more creative in order to put my skills to better use, just because I felt that you kind of have to pick something and get really good at it. And then when it comes right down to it, it's like, well, flipping houses, that's another job. I already have a job. Selling houses is like a lot. It's a lot. It's lump sum income, and it's a grind. Flipping houses is the same thing, but it's just more of a lump sum and probably more cyclical. So I thought, well, great, it's a great bonus, but it's not where I want to direct my focus. And so, I learned about EXP and determined that, you know, it's the same thing with investing in real estate. Passive income is the key. You know, number one is financial freedom. So make sure that your passive income is more than your personal and business expenses. So I ended up getting involved in EXP and building a revenue share group here at EXP. And that's been a really, really great, you know, opportunity and benefit with the passive income opportunity. And to the point where now I never wanted to build a leveraged sales production team. I've always been more coaching oriented, and that's kind of how I built my organization at EXP. But now it's transitioning towards, I mean, it's an inevitable step for me to just hire agents to work for me on a per deal basis as well. And so that's where, as you've kind of mentioned, lead generation is definitely my specialty, just because that's what I like doing. The better you get at it, the more people you can help and serve. And the more systematic that you are in your, you know, procedures for helping people, the more you can get done and the less errors that there are. And so that's my personality or my perspective. And so I just have people help me with the customer service and, you know, just keep kind of growing the business. And, you know, I kind of mentioned to you, you know, before the call as well, that I did have some single family rentals, but I ended up selling those because here in Saskatoon, in the last couple of few years with COVID, a lot of markets, Toronto, Vancouver, even Manitoba and Alberta have increased in prices significantly compared to what we've seen here. And even with now interest rates changing. So here we always have cash flow, positive cash flow. And then my thinking is the only thing you can really bank on with single family rentals in our market is the mortgage pay down. And then in Canada, the mortgages come up for renewal once every 3 to 5 years, depending on what term you set up. And so you're always subject to market no matter what. And so with interest rates coming up, I'm like, well, even the mortgage pay down portion is starting to get swallowed. And like, if you were to buy a reasonable, you know, house with a basement suite in our area, you're gonna, unless you find a smoking deal and fix it up or something like a rehab, if you just buy a decent market value, you're gonna have 10, 15, 20% would be like, you know, home run. 10, 15% reasonable return, considering a little bit of positive cash flow and some mortgage pay down. But I'm like, that's gonna shrink, not to mention the fact that everybody else's stuff. If my assets only went up by 10% over the last 2 years during COVID, and everybody else went up like 40%, that means I lost 30% on my equity. So I'm like, it doesn't make sense anymore. And it's not like I'm sitting on, you know, 100 doors. So I just thought to myself, if I put it into my business, I can make 200, 300%. But then thinking ahead, you know, once we start stacking it up again, it's like, well, I still got to put it somewhere in real estate, you know. So, but maybe I'll look at other markets at that time, you know, or more commercial stuff and developments. But
absolutely, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your strengths. You mentioned, you know, lead generation, marketing. That is what you really excel at, and that is the first step when it comes to getting a deal done, is finding that deal. So when it comes to lead generation, finding those gems of off-market deals, what is your, first of all, what's your overall strategy? And then what's your favorite single method of going about getting in contact with those motivated sellers?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I'm just going to tell a story. So when I was new to real estate, there's only a certain amount of ways to essentially find deals. Like, it's just, if you go back to the sales training basics, like I learned real estate sales from Mike Ferry, and he teaches you how to prospect. But the interesting thing of it is, when you talk to like a wholesaler who is, you know, if this is what they do, they're only looking for investment properties. It's exactly all the same stuff. Expired listings, for sale by owners, door knocking, cold calling, find out your ratios, work the numbers game, drive the neighborhoods, look for deals. And I started cold calling in the inner city because I was doing an open house. And I went all the way up and down the street, and it was this kind of the grid. So I'm like all the way up, all the way down. And I called like half the neighborhood. And I bumped into a guy who, his sister, you know, was having some concerns, well, mental health concerns. And so she needed to sell the property, but it was in disrepair. And so I bumped into him, and I'm like, I didn't think too much of it, but I invited him to my open house that I was having. And he stopped by, and he was kind of quick in and out, but he gave me his number, gave me his card. And so I sent him a handwritten note to follow up. And I ended up picking up this property, and I priced it accurately. But this was an aha moment for me because I was a newer agent. I listed it for what it was worth. It was only worth $130,000, something like this. But it had potential, and I knew it had potential, but it didn't show very well. Like, they had lots of stuff in it, and they just wanted to get rid of it because it was like, we got to move her on to the next step in life. And so what ended up happening was, an agent who was representing an investor got it under contract and then ended up actually, I think, wholesaling it, cleaned it up, wholesaled it, and made, I think, probably $30,000 for cleaning it, because it was like garbage up to here. And it would have broke the family's heart to end up doing all that work. So they just wanted to literally move on. And the dog was trapped in the house. So, you know, you can just imagine what the property smelled like, looked like. It was one of those. And so an investor cleaned it up, wholesaled it. Another investor bought it, flipped it, put a suite in it, and sold it. So it's like all the money that was to be made. And I made like a $3,000 commission. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I probably could have, you know, found somebody to partner with and at least done the first part, wholesaled it somehow, you know, done some sort of joint venture or, you know, even offered some sort of, you know, get it under contract, fix it up and put your name on. Like, there's so many, now that I'm an educated real estate, creative financing, real estate investor, I'm like, there's so many different ways that I could have, you know, got involved in that. And so, and then,
yeah, there's definitely many, many steps to any deal. There's, you know, people always give wholesalers shit because they think that they're not doing any work, but finding the deal is work and getting it under contract is work. And so I always say, you know, wholesalers are definitely an important part of the chain. So just going back to the way you find deals, because I want to really focus in on, you know, some actionable steps that people listening can take to go out and find better deals, find more deals in their area. And this, you know, marketing, the good thing about it is it works regardless of what you're looking for. So if you're looking for residential, it'll work. If you're looking for self-storage, it'll work. If you look for industrial, you know, marketing is marketing. Lead generation is lead generation. So let's go down to the actual tactics that you use to go out there and find good deals.
Yeah, so it's a numbers game. So you have to reverse engineer it. So based on what your goals are, right? Like, if you're looking for industrial or you're looking for single family, or you're looking for flips, that's going to help you gear where you're going to target and what your approach might be. Like, if you're looking for industrial stuff, probably I would go to LinkedIn. I would start scraping data for people that own, you know, properties and work it backwards. But what you need to do is identify what it is that you're looking for. And then you need to just get to work. And then determine a ratio and then find out what the gap is. Okay, is this the highest, best use of my time based on the quality of contacts and conversations? Or do I need to improve my skill development? Do I need to get better at having these conversations? And then once you do, you have to get to work and then figure it out. Because once you've made 100 phone calls or 1,000 phone calls or knocked on 4,000 doors, you're then going to know it's your beta test. Well, what was my ratio? How many of these did I, how far did I get? How many leads did I pick up? And so that's what most people are afraid to do or not willing to do, to put in that hard work. And then when you're wholesaling properties, it's more than just finding a retail home seller. You know, a retail home seller is going to be easier to find than, you know, a motivated seller. Like you can cherry pick a little bit. If you start driving around the inner city, as an example, if you're looking to flip houses in a gentrifying neighborhood, you can start targeting properties that look like they are in disrepair. You know, but it's, even if that was your strategy, there's only so many of them. So, you know, you can call there, everything works if you work. It just depends on, you know, what your goals are, what you're willing to do to get there, and that sort of thing. So it's like, you know, the basics of it is past clients and sphere of influence. If you just start talking to your sphere of influence, you'll bump into somebody who has that's dealing with an estate sale. And that might be an opportunity for you to flip a house. So through your network, right? So past clients, sphere of influence, for sale by owners, expired listings, you know, open houses.
So you're... So all of those are different statuses of properties. Mostly what you're referring to there is single family residential. So when you find these lists, do you cold call them? Do you do texting? Do you do direct mail? How do you get in contact with them generally?
Phone call is always best. You know, I come back to something is better than nothing. So you're better off to text message than to not call. You know, it's just like, but you're always best off the phone. Phone first, follow up with the.
Do you do the phone call yourself, or do you have a cold calling team either in the United States, or do you outsource to a call center? How do you do the cold calling?
You could, but it comes down to the same thing. Like, what's your time worth? What are your goals? Like, again, if you're developing a portfolio of, well, I know guys that have huge portfolios that still do a lot of the finding deals themselves. But what happens as you develop a reputation, deals just start coming to you, right? You don't have to look for them as much because everybody that's out there doing stuff that doesn't know how to put the deal together, they knows that you're the deal maker and they just bring deals to you. So, I mean, you know, but when you're starting from scratch, you have to put in the hard work. And so, yeah, so single family, but it's all the same game. I mean, you start with a phone call. Phone call is always the highest conversion, but it's also the highest amount of skill required. You know, you could do cold emails. You know, everything works if you work it. You could do social media, but social media is kind of like your social proof, so that when people look you up, you look legit. You know, it's not until you become massive, and even still with that, I mean, you got to drop into people's inboxes and send out messages to develop relationships and get on the phone. So it's like, it all works. And yeah, I do the phone calls myself because it's the best use of my time. I do the math on it, just on the real estate sales side of it. If I isolate the prospecting portion, if an average commission is $6,000 in it, and I know that I can talk to 10 people per hour, you know, 3 hours, I'm going to make $6,000. Well, what's that per hour? You know, it's like, you know, that's the highest and best use of my time. Right. Yep. So,
yep. Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, I just took a peek at the clock. It looks like we have ran it down. So it's time to jump into the quick question round. Are you ready?
Sure.
Let's do it. It starts with books or any form of education. I need two recommendations. Give me one for general life wisdom, one for real estate.
General life wisdom, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Read the book, but take the public speaking course. That was a total game changer for me in my journey. And then I'd mentioned Rich Dad, Poor Dad for real estate, but I'm actually going to give you another one. Fanatical Prospecting, which is basically going to explain exactly all of what I talked about today in very minute detail. It'd be exceptional for anybody that's looking for their own deals or looking to wholesale properties for sure.
Very cool. Yeah. How to Win Friends and Influence People. I never liked the title, but that book is fantastic. Fanatical Prospecting, I have yet to, I've heard about it. I haven't picked it up yet, but it's probably something I should check out. So good recommendations. I'm going to move us on to the next one. And this is for your younger self. So let's go back to the Chris who was just picking up that phone to look for his first job. Go back to him, look him in the eye, give him one piece of advice moving forward.
Man, I probably would have got into real estate sooner.
It's what they all say. I wish I got started sooner. So if you guys are in your car listening to this, if you're, you know, on the treadmill listening to this and you haven't done your first deal, just go do it. Go out there, get something done. Doesn't matter if it's commercial, residential, whatever. Go actually take some action. It's what everybody wishes they had done sooner. So moving on to the next question, and this is about metros. Usually I say the U.S. is a big place, but you're in Canada. So we're going to say North America is a big place. A lot of square miles out there to invest in. So give me one metro that's not Saskatoon that you are most excited about investing in today.
I like Calgary. I like Alberta, which is our neighboring province. And that's basically because there's tourism. It's affordable. You still have cash flow and there's upside opportunity as well. Yeah, it's a little bit one-dimensional because it's oil-based market. I'm partial to it. It's a beautiful city. I like Calgary. So that is, I would say, a reasonably good market to consider. And it's a place where you could visit and actually enjoy. So that's a big thing. If you're looking to buy in a market that you don't live in, make it something that's going to be fun to visit. You know, like, I mean, buying an area where you're going to enjoy stopping in to check out your properties.
Yep, absolutely. I believe that myself as well. Calgary, all right, that's a good recommendation. I've never been out there myself. I think you guys hosted the Olympics at some point because I remember in Cool Runnings, they went to Calgary for the Olympics. That was a good movie. Yeah. All right, moving on. This is about, we've already asked this, but I'm going to ask it again because it's part of the quick question round. It's about finding deals. Finding deals is the beginning of everybody's investment. Every deal starts with finding it. And so what is your favorite way of generating new leads? Single favorite way.
Yeah.
What is it?
I'm going to say networking groups. If there is not a real estate investing networking group in your area, build one. That's the best, quickest, easiest way to find deals. Not everybody has 8 hours to cold call, but you can meet somebody who is and partner with them.
There you go. I love it. Networking. Moving us on. And this is about mentors. None of us are islands. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. So who is one mentor who has contributed significantly to your career today?
I'm going to say there's so many of them. But I'm going to say Brendan Burchard. He's a big marketer. He's a YouTuber guy. He's a personal development guy. I don't know if you know who he is, but he was definitely there's a critical timeline where I got involved with his mastermind, which introduced me to EXP. And I was kind of like the first person in my market to introduce it. And it's been a game changer, you know, definitely for my career. So all right. I'm going to say Brendan.
Cool. Shout out to Brendan. Moving us on to the second to last. Actually, that was the second to last question. This is the last question. It's about you and your company. You've given us a lot to think about. I'm sure people want to reach out. What is the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Yeah. So my name is Chris Molinar. My last name is spelled Molenaar. And you can find me on YouTube or on Instagram. And you can find out what I'm up to based on the content I put out on YouTube. And then you can just send me a message or follow me on Instagram. I'd be happy to chat.
Cool. That's Chris Molinar. I will put that link in the show notes. It's youtube.com/Chris Molinar. If you guys want to reach out and get it in some of Chris's content, just click the little more in the description. It'll pull down the full description. And in there, you can find Chris's URLs. All right, man. That wraps it up. Thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. So if you guys have any questions whatsoever, reach out to me, Gabe at realestateinvestingclub.com. And if you guys want to support the show, all we ask is you give us a like, subscribe, share, all that jazz. Other than that, I hope you guys have a great week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties.
If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.